This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. Matt Hill, the Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators, in studio today. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, wanted to kind of get a little look at the state of the timber industry, both locally, regionally, around the state, and maybe even beyond. Here we are a few weeks into a new year. Overall, how would you kind of describe how things are going?
Not optimal would be the short description. There's a lot of challenges to the forest products industry right now, both on the supply and demand side. Our basic lumber industry here is largely dependent on housing starts on the West Coast, and that's very slow. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of market constraints in terms of the ability to finance projects, mortgages, interest rates, those types of things that affect housing development. We're going into spring, after we get through the snow. And our hope is that will bring some growth in those markets and more optimism. But for now, things are very lean. Our lumber manufacturers are operating on lean shifts, lean supply, just trying to stay alive. We've had mill closures recently, announcements of closures that further reduces supply. And everyone's just trying to survive. And my hope is that we don't see any more curtailments or closures, and we can get through and see some better hope on the supply side.
And the recent Roseburg Forest Products, not closure, but reduction in staff, a lot of those folks look around and go, where do I go now?
It's a hard time for sure with other mills facing the same challenges that Roseburg faces. That was the plywood facility. They previously had to reduce their production at the hardwood plywood. We've had the closure of C&D mill in South Douglas County. And like I said, everyone's facing the same challenges and just trying to get through it the best they can. It's been a long cold winter, so to speak, for our manufacturers. And I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. One way to look at that is looking at lumber futures, and it's kind of up and down, but not crazy up and down. It's a lot more stable than it has been in previous years. But as you see futures investments, futures rates increasing, that might be some hope of changing markets.
And even on some local federal timber sales, you've had litigation issues which have slowed the process.
Absolutely. The litigation over federal timber production always adds uncertainty to supply. More than half of the standing timber in Douglas County is managed by one federal agency or another, either the BLM or the Forest Service. Most of those timber sales are litigated, particularly in recent years on the BLM side. Their entire program has been under litigation, either in the previous the Blue and Gold EA project or the current 42 divide proposal. So that adds an uncertainty and cost to potential purchasers who have to determine whether or not to bid on sales, whether or not the sales will actually be come to fruition through litigation, and then also pay litigation costs. And it's just a cost of doing business with the federal government that's very different than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Now, early this morning, I got a release from the Bureau of Land Management regarding proposed updates to resource management across 2.5 million acres of timberlands in western Oregon. What do you know about that at this point?
It's very welcome news to Douglas County, for sure. The announcement has to do with the management regime for the ONC lands, which are the owned Oregon and California Railroad grant lands managed by the BLM in Western Oregon, the checkerboard, if you will. In Douglas County, all Western Oregon counties have a very unique relationship with those lands in terms of a 75% revenue sharing agreement. So the counties share a fund, which is funded by 75% of timber sale revenues. So we, you know, our schools, our roads, our law enforcement, every public service that the county provides has traditionally been funded through timber receipts from BLM lands. And the rate of production on those lands has varied dramatically over time. We're currently operating under the 2016 Resource Management Plan, which was an Obama-era plan, and that does not produce the level of timber that's possible under those under the growth rate of those lands. And so what the Trump administration is doing is proposing to revise that land management plan for those Western Oregon BLM lands to increase production closer in alignment with what's possible, which translates into more logs for Douglas County mills. It means more stability in our supply market and more revenue for the county.
Now, you can't necessarily just snap your fingers, though, and have crews moving immediately.
No, it's a long process. You know, playing out the timeline, the Trump administration has to go through its regulatory process under NEPA, ESA, public comment, draft environmental impact statement, final environmental impact statement. They will get sued by environmental groups over whatever plan they come up with. And then whatever comes out the other end has to get implemented, which means that new timber sales have to get laid out. That takes years. And those individual sales may get litigated. So it's going to be a couple of years, even under the best of scenarios, to see any real changes on the ground.
And in a couple of years, we will have another presidential election. So then what?
Good question. It's a bit of a roller coaster, and this is what we've been on for many years. The George W. Bush administration had a different plan called the Whopper, Western Oregon Plan Revision, that it tried to get through that was much more favorable to the counties, much more favorable to local timber interests, and that was brushed aside and replaced with the 2016 Obama plan. A future president, future administration would be free to change plans again. And so it's hard to predict where we will be. And it's been a bit of tug of war, or maybe a game of basketball is a better analogy. But it does go back and forth. And that puts the county in a difficult position in terms of planning its budgets and its programs and knowing how much revenue will be there. I would like to see a much more stable approach to BLM's timber management here in Western Oregon.
And, I mean, even if you, there's no guarantee that a Republican president in the next term wouldn't come up with their own version of how to do this as well, which, again, would instigate all of this again. It's like, do we ever get to a point where something gets done, whatever it happens to be?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there's, you know, the OPB has this podcast called The Timber Wars, and it talks about it in the past tense, and it's not over. I mean, these issues are still being litigated. They're still being fought. They're still having an impact on county budgets. They're still having an impact on employment in the private sector and private activity here. So these wars aren't over. They've just changed focus. It's maybe more of a cold war now between the interests, but what's happening on the land isn't right. We're not producing timber anywhere near where it grows. We're not managing lands after they burn, and we're leaving hundreds of thousands of acres of dead trees to burn again and again and again and suffer the human health consequences and emergencies associated with those wildfires. So what's happening on federal land is not working, and we need a better solution. And the Trump administration is trying to do that with this plan, but it probably won't be the last.
All right, more when we come back. Matt Hill, the Douglas Timber Operators, the interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lakeside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 tomorrow and on Friday. Two programs coming live from Salem. We'll talk with State Representative Virgil Osborne tomorrow. State Senator David Brocksmith on Friday to follow what's happening with the short session of the legislature. Matt Hill of the Douglas Timber Operators Inn talking about here in the last part of our segment about the Bureau of Land Management moving in the direction of the Trump administration policies for timberlands. And I know there's been some reaction. What have you heard so far today from different groups about this proposal, or not this proposal, but this shift in direction?
Well, it's something that the county and Western Oregon counties have been asking for since the Trump administration came in. It's certainly welcome news to timber interests who feel that BLM-managed lands could go in a different direction, and it's been subject to federal litigation that the counties and the industry didn't get the outcome that they wanted, and so they're perfectly free to ask the administration to change direction. If you read the ONC statute, it's very clear about what those lands are supposed to be managed for in terms of permanent timber production, sustained yield timber production. And the courts and other administrations and other political climates have driven management in a different direction. And so this, in our mind, is a course correction that is welcome. Similar things are happening on the Forest Service side, too.
Now, let's take a look kind of as we go through the year. Right now, our snowpack is pretty dismal, 45-year low, I think, is what I've been hearing. When you look at that, even if we do get a lot of or even a moderate amount of rain here before we transition into drier times, how does that impact us this summer?
It's not good. The like you said, the snowpack is record low. The last 24 hours has been helpful, but we're not out of the hole yet. I think it's second worst on record, worst in the last 30 or 40 years. I gauge things by the snow tube hill at Diamond Lake, and it was closed a couple of weeks ago, and it should have been prime season for that.
Well, and think about all these ski places that really didn't open much at all either.
Absolutely. If you had a season pass, probably the wrong year to get it. So we're definitely in a bad place that doesn't bode well for, you know, going into summer and fire season. We usually wait until May to ask DFPA to prognosticate what fire season's going to look like, but I can't imagine there's a way to turn it around to a normal year. Now, of course, you know, fire is determined by many conditions, the conditions on the ground, but ultimately you need an ignition, and hopefully people are extra cautious with fire and being out in the woods and things that start our forest fires, but certainly we're not looking at good conditions, and the possibility for a very bad fire season is real.
Now, for the Douglas Timber Operators, you're working with a lot of different folks in the industry. Are you seeing, because of all these different factors that we've talked about, less people wanting to get into the industry, or is that not really changed?
It depends on the job. There's a great diversity of jobs in the industry, from running human resources for a large corporation to setting chokers, you know, up in the woods and everything in between. What most of our manufacturers see is a workforce challenge. A lot of turnover in those jobs. People come in, work for a while, leave, disappear, and aren't to be seen again. So. Hard to fill the positions, harder to keep people in those positions, and that's what the manufacturers are seeing. Our wages for forest products industry jobs are higher than the county average, and so they're competitive. A lot of our companies have amazing benefits that are second to none, so there's no reason why people shouldn't be seeking employment in the industry. It's just a matter of keeping them there.
And do you think some of that is a frustration about going out to do a job, but then not being sure if you're going to actually be able to have that impact?
I don't think so. I don't think people applying for jobs are wondering, you know, the macro politics and economics of the industry. They're just hoping to keep the job that they get. But I think that maybe there's reticence to look at the industry a bit just because they do see news of closures and curtailments, and that's frustrating. It's frustrating for us as well, and hopefully we have better news. News of, you know, expansion and growth coming, and that's where we were just a couple years ago, and so things change. It's a bit of a roller coaster, but the companies that are here in Douglas County are survivors. They've been through worse circumstances, both on the supply side and the demand side, and they're doing their best to find a path through all this.
And speaking of survivors and hard workers, your organization recently gave out an award for somebody.
Yes, every year we DTO awards the Tough Tree Award, which is for someone in our industry who's gone above and beyond the call of duty for the industry, for forest products industry, and for our communities. And this year we gave that award to Art Adams, who is the not the founder. His father founded the company, but he runs Nordic Veneer out on Diamond Lake Boulevard, a great family-owned business, still run by three generations of that family, Art, JR, and Bailey. And just a wonderful human being, community-oriented. And at our ceremony, we showed a 20-year-old video clip of him talking about the history of the company and what it means to be here in Douglas County. So great person, well-deserved, and we're glad he's one of us.
Now, when you give these awards out, does the recipient know what's going to happen, or do you surprise people?
I believe he was surprised. We try to surprise him, but it's always hard to get people in without spilling the beans.
Hard to keep a secret sometimes. And that was just that was right around Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you as well, we've got a few minutes left here, about the Rock Creek Hatchery, where things are standing right now.
We think things are moving in the right direction. You know, the state had announced an agreement with the Kekrik Banavamqua Tribe of Indians to work on a proposal where Rock Creek would be partially rebuilt and fish bound for the North Umpqua River would be produced there. And then another facility would be built in partnership with the tribe on the South Umpqua to produce fish for the South Umpqua, so that fish are produced in their home waters, which improves return and reduces stray rates. Most of the challenge to that plan is just lining up the money for the construction. And so the state has been working on, they have insurance money, they're working on FEMA, federal FEMA money, and then whatever the gap is, making up that. And I think progress is being made. I'll defer to the state and tribe to make any formal announcement, but I'm very optimistic and look forward to seeing Rock Creek come back and be better than ever.
Now, what is taking place out there right now?
Right now at Rock Creek, fish are being produced. They've been produced since the Archie Creek fire. Using mobile incubators, you know, the raceways are still there, the pools in the ground and are operational. So they've got a mobile incubator. They've got a hatchery manager. I know Cow Creek staff has been up there helping out. So they're doing what they can given the circumstances, but they haven't given up, and fish are still getting put in the river.
And I know that was a big deal to you, especially just because of your family history with that.
Yes, my great-great-grandfather built the first hatchery on the Umpqua River up at, it was a satellite facility, first three hatcheries, actually, one near Idlewild, one near Steamboat Creek, and then the first Rock Creek hatchery in 1921. So we certainly have a long history of producing fish for the Umpqua River and hope to continue that tradition.
As we wrap up, kind of look at this overall, are you still optimistic about the future of timber around here?
Of course. It's a wonderful renewable resource. We have the best place on earth to produce it, and we have the responsibility to produce it sustainably for everyone to be able to utilize. And I sincerely believe that. If we don't produce lumber, harvest timber here, it gets produced somewhere else that doesn't have the sustainability that we have. So it's our responsibility to do it the right way here and enjoy the benefits.
All right, Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Cal.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.